Alrighty, brethren. Here we are once again on Wednesday night, and I really debated what to do and where to go and how to take care of this on a Wednesday night, and I think I got the direction of the Lord to have me go with this, so appreciate you praying for it, and praying for all the men that get up here and try to fill in while Brother Stevens is recovering. I will say before we get started here that it was kind of an interesting turn of events around my house today. Stephanie had the pleasure of filling out her taxes, trying to get her taxes. And I know that I helped her with it last year, but, you know, this year we made little mistakes on the calculation, the worksheet, and she thought she was going to have to owe a bunch of money, and so she was really depressed. And it's like, oh, man, bummer. I didn't have enough taken out at my job during the year. And we got to looking over it again and realized that, you know, we'd made a mistake on one of the worksheets, and now she's actually going to get a little bit of money back. Amen? So she was happy. She was happy. But during that intermediate time, she got a really good wake-up call of government and taxes and just how much it really does mean. So that was some of the excitement around my house today. I don't know why it has to revolve around taxes, but it did. Anyway, if you will, open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. I know Brother Stevens has been going over the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night, and I originally was going to do something else, and the Lord just didn't really give me any peace about it. So I looked up on the internet, Brother Vlad, on the last place where Brother Stevens was, and I'm basically just going to pick up where he left off. And if he wants to redo it again once he gets back in on Wednesday night, that's perfectly fine with me. But let's take a look at Proverbs 15, and we'll get started here this evening. Proverbs 15. Now, I love Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book, and it's a good book for you to get in and read because there are so many different topics, so many different things that are covered in the book of Proverbs that that will help you in your life on a day-to-day basis. And so that's what we're going to hopefully try to get done here tonight, is give you some things that will help you. It's always been a burden of mine to, you see folks struggle, you see folks go through trials, you see folks face obstacles in your life, and I don't know why, but, you know, it's always been a burden of mine. The Lord's put that on my heart. I like seeing folks face and conquer troubles. I don't like having to see them go through the trouble, but when they are going through the trouble, I like to see them find the solutions that they need and put the principles of God to work in their lives and see them come out on the other end of that trial successful and victorious. Amen? And that's a blessing. I like to see that. I like to see that in the teens, working back there with the teens. I like to see them come to a place in their life where they're struggling with one of the normal issues that teenagers struggle with. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they have to struggle with those issues, but the truth of the matter is they have to struggle with those issues. And it's such a blessing to see them come to that point, struggle with it for a while, and it's a trial while they're struggling. Just like you and I, it's a trial while they're struggling. And I'm sure their parents and myself and a lot of other folks in the church sit there and wonder, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Oh no, they're going the wrong way. Oh, they're going the right way. It looks promising. It looks hopeful. Oh no, my hopes have been dashed. And you go back and forth, and sometimes that struggle takes a while. But it's a blessing to see them come out the other side victorious. It really is. And folks, Book of Proverbs will do that for you if you give it an opportunity. So let's take a look at Proverbs 15, and let's get started here. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, the thing I like about this verse, brethren, is you know what? It's pretty simple to understand. It is pretty simple to understand. A soft answer turneth away wrath. That is a good principle. That is a good principle to think about. Now, wrath is, you know what wrath is. It's a strong, stern, it's a fierce anger. It's deeply resentful indignation. Deeply resentful indignation. And I know this. I know there have been many times in my life where I've dealt with people at one level or another, and I have not applied Proverbs 15 verse 1, the way that I wish I would have. Amen? There's been a whole lot of times, in fact, even with folks here in the church sometimes, that I've had dealings with, and I have not applied Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I'd just like to state, you know what? I regret that. And I'm sorry for that. And I learned a lot of lessons, sometimes the hard way. And if I would have just paid attention to Proverbs 51 a little bit sooner in my life, you know what? There's a lot of mistakes maybe I wouldn't have made. I was raised from, whatever you want to call a lowly background. My parents divorced, single mom, three boys trying to raise three boys. I had to fight for everything that I accomplished or everything that I had. I had to fight in school. I had to fight, physically and, schoolwork. I had to work at it. It was a struggle. It was a challenge. I look back now and I see the Lord's hand in it, and I'm grateful, and it was a blessing, but at the time, it was a lot of fighting. I was always, the one left out. I was always the one that was not popular. I was always the one that, that wished I could have been amongst the popular kids, but wasn't. And I joined the Marine Corps. And what do they teach you in the Marine Corps? You know what? They teach you how to fight. They teach you how to fight. And let's just say that the interpersonal communication skills in the United States Marine Corps are slightly different than the accepted norm in today's society. The way that we dealt with each other, the way that we talked with each other in the Marine Corps is entirely different than the way we deal with people here in the congregation. It was nothing for us to yell and scream and rant and rave. You got a drill instructor, the big Smokey the Bear hat. He's in your face yelling and screaming and ranting and raving. And you know what? You get to the point where that just doesn't bother you anymore. That is normal. And you get to thinking that everybody thinks that way. But it's not true. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And it took me a while to adjust. It took me a while to adjust from that. I excelled in the military. I enjoyed the military. I got right when I was in the military with a Ruckmanite church down in South Carolina. Brother Carl Baker down there. He was had an early Ruckman graduate and had a church down there in Beaufort, South Carolina. And a lot of military guys went to his church. There was a Navy base and two Marine Corps bases in that town. And so there were a lot of military guys in that church. And you know what? We were pretty zealous church. We fought against the devil and ourselves. We fought against the devil and everybody else, too. we tried to get our own lives right. We stood for the Bible, and we were ready to crush anybody who didn't toe the line as far as the Bible. We laugh a lot of times at Dr. Ruckman. He calls himself a junkyard dog, right? A junkyard dog. You ever been around a junkyard dog? Have you ever actually seen one? I have. Do you know what they're like? They're not pleasant. They're not pleasant, brethren. They'll fight anything. You just got to walk by the junkyard and they're going to be chasing you. And we'll go downtown and we'll street preach and we'll confront anybody on anything. And we're happy. We're happy to be like Ezekiel. Brother Stevens goes over this quite often, but flip, if you will, back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And you know what? If we're not careful, this is who we are. And there's a time for it, I understand that. And there's a need for it, I understand that. But in Ezekiel 3, starting in verse 1, "Moreover he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he called me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art sent, not to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are an impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And you know what? I got up here and I started working with Brother Stevens, and you know, he relayed to me the fact that the Lord had really impressed upon him in his ministry that particular verse. And coming from the background that I came from, you know what? I fit in pretty good. I fit in pretty good. And, you know, brethren, it's not good to be that way all the time. It's not good to be that way all the time. Then you turn to the other extreme. Aubrey's taking a college class at Anoka Ramsey, and she's taking a class on interpersonal communication. It's one of those funky little speech classes that you got to take, you know, one of those prerequisites. And according to the instructor, you should never offend anyone in your speech. Right? You shouldn't offend anyone. In fact, she gave a test early on in the semester, and she asked the students to memorize some vocabulary words concerning speech. Well, she got the test back from all the students, and most of them had miserably failed in the vocabulary portion. And so she proceeded to tell the class how unfair it was of her to expect them to remember the vocabulary words and cross them off of the test and gave them all credit for it because she didn't want to offend them. This is college. Anyway, she apologized for putting them on the test. She didn't want to offend anybody. Now, most of us can't stand this approach. And, you know, we know that if you're going to preach a truth, if you're going to say the truth, that offense will come. But, you know, one thing I noticed as I was looking through here, it says this. It says, a soft anger turneth away wrath. And I got to thinking about that. And, brethren, you know what? Wrath is not the same as offense. Wrath is not the same as offense. Offense is something that offends or displeases. It's a feeling of resentful displeasure. There's a lot of times where your speech will offend somebody just by virtue of what you say. Now, certainly we want to avoid that. And what typically happens, and what you and I have to watch for, is we have to watch for the fact that somebody may say something that offends us, and we let that get inside of us and twist and eat at our nerves and our gut, and we turn it into wrath. But wrath does not equal offense. Just because you're offended at something that may be said doesn't mean that any wrath should be associated with that at all. And brethren, we got to be careful not to mix the two. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." James 3:2 says this. It says, "For in many things we offend all." And you know what? There's a certain element of truth in that. I was talking to somebody that I know, and they were talking about another mutual friend that we had in common, and they were saying that I have the reputation, behind my back, of course, of being Amish. Yeah. I have an Amish family because they couldn't pronounce Amish, but an Amish family. And you know, brethren, there's just some things that you do. There's some things that you do. No matter how hard you try, you're going to offend some people. But James 3 says, "For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his own body." You know what? We ought to try not to offend. But the verse says wrath. The verse says wrath. Take a look at James chapter 1, if you will. James chapter 1. Scroll down to verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. And James says this. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Brethren, our job is to avoid being wrathful. Back to Proverbs 15, if you would. Romans 12:19 says this. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." Right? "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Move over. Let the Lord deal with the wrath. You're having some interpersonal communications with a brother or somebody in your own family or somebody you know that you work with. Hey, listen, there may be offenses that come, maybe from you, maybe from them. When the offenses come, step aside, and brethren, let the Lord deal with the wrath. Don't get involved in the wrath end of it. That's not for us to get involved in. You know, we have to speak the truth, and yes, some people may be offended at that occasionally, but listen, we don't need to be the cause of wrath. We don't need to let somebody offending us turn into wrath. Wrath is deeply resentful indignation. Deeply resentful indignation. You know what it is? You get ticked off. You get angry. And you let that thing swell up inside of you and you keep it going for a long, long, long time. And you have a real hard time to getting over it. Wrath. The first time wrath shows up in the Bible is back in Genesis 39, and you got Joseph, in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife goes to her husband and relays the story and the lies about Joseph to her husband, and Potiphar is the first one that winds up getting wrathful there, at least the first time it shows up. I kind of imagine she probably didn't approach him with soft words. The last time wrath shows up in the Bible is in Revelation 19. And in Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that he with it should smite the nations, and shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Brethren, let God be the one that deals out the wrath, not you and I. Not you and I. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You and I are to avoid it. You know, when you're in a conversation, even a spirited conversation, and, you know, you need to give an answer to somebody, I understand that, and sometimes the truth, like I said, there is a certain amount of offense that may or may not come with that. But how you answer somebody matters. How you answer somebody matters. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But how you answer somebody is going to make a difference as to how they receive it. In Genesis chapter 30, Jacob is dealing with his father-in-law. And he's asking, okay, what do I need to give? And, you know, you get the whole scenario set up of the speckled and spotted calves. And basically, he's going to get the speckled and spotted ones because they're considered inferior. And then his father-in-law is going to keep the good ones. And he makes an interesting statement along in there. He says in Genesis 30:33, he says, "So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come." So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. And you know, brethren, it's a good thing to rely on your righteousness and the goodness in you and let the Lord bear out the fact that you're a child of God and you've got the Spirit of God and you're approaching things in a respectful and a proper manner. It's a good thing to let that stand out and be your answer. Even in a heated debate. Then there's Paul in 2 Timothy 4. It says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." I don't know how he answered, whether it was soft or hard, but I know this. Brethren, I know that how you answer matters. How you answer matters. Sometimes, you know as well as I do, it's not so much what you say to your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents, but it's how you say it. It's how you say it. And you keep that principle in mind about a soft answer, and it'll go a long way. Turn to James chapter 3, very familiar passage. But brethren, it is a cornerstone of our interactions with one another. James chapter 3, and let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read this. This is the passage in the Bible that deals with the tongue. The tongue. My brethren, James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. James chapter 3. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. These things ought not be so. Proverbs 15:1 just simply says this. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And you know what, brethren? We need a soft answer. Colossians 4 says, let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech always be with grace, be seasoned with salt. Ephesians 4 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But there's a contrast to the soft answer. There's a contrast, and that is grievous words. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, grievous words are grievous. Grievous is causing great pain or suffering. And you know, one thing that people become very proficient at is using their words as weapons. Some people are very, very good at using their words as weapons. Some people are very, very slick and sly with using their words as weapons. In fact, most fights are just simply the result of using words as weapons. You stop and think about it. Most of the arguments you've probably had with your husband and wife result from somebody saying something in the wrong way. Somebody, you know, it's the result of using words as weapons. We're not talking about a heated debate and trying to get to, you know, an issue. We're talking about when you get out of that mode and you choose to go down the path where you use your words to just simply inflict pain on the other person because that's how you can prove your point. Those are grievous words. You know, the verse says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Grievous words most often are intentional. When asked, why did you say that? You answer a lot of times, I don't know. The truth is, yeah, you do. You're trying to get one dig in there. One little dig. You wanted to prove your point. Because it's important that you were right. It's important that you were the one that had the last word. You ever saw somebody that has to have the last word? I mean, it's really not funny. But a lot of times, brethren, we can get that way if we're not careful. Maybe it was defense. Maybe you said it without thinking. But, brethren, grievous words are those types of words when you're answering somebody and, you know what, you're causing great pain or suffering. The words are grievous. I mean, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words, those words that you just got to jab with one last time, just one last dig before the argument's over, they stir up anger. Let's take a look back in Proverbs 15. And this is a great passage because you go right down to verse 2. Verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Notice that a wise man uses knowledge aright. A wise man uses knowledge aright. You know what that means, guys? That means it is possible to say the right thing to your wife. It really is. It is possible. It is possible to say the right thing to your wife. I know that you may think it's impossible, but when you think that, there are only one or two possibilities, brethren. There are only one or two possibilities. Either A, we are not wise, or B, we don't have the knowledge of what to say. Because a wise man uses knowledge aright. So if you're trying to talk with your wife and you're looking for the right thing to say, if you're a wise man, you'll use knowledge aright. If you have a failure in that area, you're either not wise or you don't have knowledge. And I'll even grant you the fact that maybe you say, I don't have knowledge because women are difficult to understand. Nobody understands women. But you know what? You can't use that as an excuse. We laugh about it. We joke about it at work, you know, the whole nine yards. And our whole line of thinking is really incorrect in that way, guys. It really is. Because a wise man useth knowledge aright. You say, nobody can have the knowledge of women. Nobody can understand that. But you know what? A wise man is supposed to seek knowledge. Maybe you don't have it right now, but if you're in a situation where you realize you don't understand your wife that well, that you can't seem to find the right words to say, you know what a wise man is supposed to do? He's supposed to seek knowledge. So you can say, I don't have knowledge, I don't understand women. Okay, I'll grant you. Maybe not. But if you're wise, you'll seek knowledge. I'll use a fictitious example. Let's say that you're a newly married couple, and the husband makes a comment on his wife's cooking. Something like, well, that's not how my mom does it. I know every one of you married men right now are thinking, ha ha, he talked to my wife for that illustration. And in my defense, all I can say is this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. but you know what, guys? Occasionally. Did I do that too? I don't even want to admit to some of the things I've said over the years. It is common to man. But brethren, you know what? If you don't have the knowledge that that's a bad idea, then you ought to seek knowledge. I mean, if you find yourself, listen, men, you find yourself hurting your wife's feelings by the things that are coming out of your mouth. I mean, even occasionally, but especially if it's on a consistent basis. Brethren, the wisdom or the knowledge is not there. Something's lacking. You're missing something. You're missing something. Because a wise man useth knowledge aright. You say, she's too emotional. I say, welcome to marriage. You say, she's too emotional. Look at Proverbs 15 real quick. Proverbs 15, 14. Just look down the page a little bit. And it says this. It says, the heart of him that understandeth seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fool feedeth foolishness. Look at Proverbs 18, 15. Proverbs 18, 15. You know what that thing there says? That thing says, the heart of a prudent man getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Men, you know what? We can't use the you just can't understand women excuse. You can't use the she's just emotional excuse. Because brethren, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And if you hold up the argument that you just don't understand or you don't comprehend women, they're too emotional and you just don't get it, I'll throw up the argument and say, you know what? If you're wise, And if you had the right heart about it, you'd seek out knowledge. You'd seek out knowledge. That thing there says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. It says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. It's a heart matter, brethren. It's a heart matter. I was talking to a guy one time a while back at work, and him and his wife were going through a rough time, and he told me about one of the conversations they had, and it went something like this. They had been having, you know, just some different problems and some medical things going on, and she made the comment kind of timidly, I made an appointment with the doctor, which was a normal occurrence, because they had been, you know, a lot of things going on. They'd been seeing doctors. And he asked her, which doctor? And she kind of hesitantly told him a counselor. And he was talking to me and relaying the story to me. At the time he was talking to me, he sits back in his chair, his eyes kind of roll, and he goes, oh, she's going to talk about her feelings. Brethren, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. Men, if you've got a good heart about it, you're going to seek and try to figure out what's going on. Take a look at Proverbs 15:2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, we've jumped all over the men for a little bit, and we'll go ahead and make this, you know, equal opportunity. Ladies, this does apply to you too. Ladies, this does apply to you too. Let me ask you this. How do you answer your husband? You get in a conversation, he asks you a question. How do you answer him? Let me ask this. How do you talk to your husband? Do you use your tongue with wisdom when it comes to dealing with your husband? Men are pretty simple creatures. I know that you may find that hard to believe, but men are pretty simple creatures. You know what a man needs? He needs to be honored, respected, and admired. It's not rocket science. Ladies, you say, I don't understand what my husband needs. All right? The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You don't understand, find out. Find out what he needs. It goes a long way if you'll show some respect and some honor and some admiration to your husband. You want to soften him up and get things, you know, on a lot better keel between you guys. Try it. 1 Peter 3:5 says, for after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You say, not my husband. Sarah called her husband Lord. And you know the verse. We've been over that verse I don't know how many times over the past several years. But you know what your husband needs? He needs to be respected. He needs to be honored. He needs to be admired. He needs to know that you find something admirable about him in your eyes. There's got to be something. That was a joke. Look at the key words in that verse again, and I know I didn't have you turn to it, but the key words, holy women. You know what? 1 Peter 3:5, holy women who trusted in God, being in subjection, called him Lord. Pretty amazing. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue. We just went over that passage in James chapter 3. We won't turn there again. But the tongue. How do you use your tongue, ladies? Rate yourself on a scale as far as nagging from 1 to 10. You see, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Where do you think nagging rates on a scale of 1 to 10? How about maybe just using your tongue to express the fact that you're never really happy with anything that he does. Maybe he doesn't fix the car right. Maybe he doesn't fix the leaky roof right. Maybe he doesn't, whatever, pick his socks up right. You ever just do a double take on your tongue and just check to see your satisfaction level? There's never enough money. They never spend enough time with me. You don't love me, on and on and on. I tell you what, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And ladies, it's just as important for you to learn how to communicate with your husband as it is for him to learn how to communicate with you. You may say to me, yeah, but he's made some bad decisions. If you were wise and you knew that he had made some bad decisions, which, believe it or not, some of us do on occasion. That was a joke too, by the way. You'd use that knowledge aright. Hey man, just because somebody makes a mistake once in a while doesn't mean the world's going to cave in. You learn from it. You grow from it. You use that knowledge in the right way. You don't use the fact that you know about some mistake he made to club him over the head, beat him into submission because you want a new dress, or because you want to get your way in some other matter. Yeah, well, back then you did this. Well, okay, so he did. But that's not using that knowledge aright. That's not using that knowledge aright. It doesn't say you use that knowledge all right. It says all right. It says all right. You take that verse and the tongue of the wise useth knowledge right. I mean, you take that down even to teens. Work with you guys a lot. Love you guys a lot. How does your tongue work when you're talking with your parents? When you're talking with one another? How do you use the knowledge that you have? Do you use it to help one another, encourage one another, and keep one another on the spiritual track? Do you use it a wrong? That would be the opposite of a right. Do you use it a wrong and try to get them off in a direction they should not be going? I just know this, brethren. Proverbs 15:2 says that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fool poureth out foolishness. You know what that means? Husbands, wives, teens, kids dealing with your parents. You know what that means? That means the things that are coming out of your mouth, if it's not knowledge that you're using aright, all you're doing is pouring out foolishness. It means you're a fool. It means you're a fool. If you don't use the things that are coming out of your mouth in the right way, it means you're a fool. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Those are the two options. Those are the two options. I'm looking at time here. The tongue, brethren. How we communicate with one another. The way that we use our words. Proverbs 51, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A lot of times I wish I'd remembered that. All right? But grievous words stir up anger. A lot of problems I see out there are just simply grievous words. They're intended to injure. The whole intent of saying what you said was to hurt. And then it says in Proverbs 15, verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. But you don't understand something about your husband, your wife, teens. You don't understand something about why your parents make the decisions they do. Learn. Ask. Try to seek knowledge and figure out why are they making the decisions they're making. There's a reason. Right? Parents, you don't understand why your teens are doing some of the things they're doing? Hey, talk with them. Find out. Hey, what's going on in your head? Because the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. you've got knowledge in your head and experience from back when you were a teenager that is very invaluable to the teenagers coming up now. But you got to use that knowledge right. Talk with them. Talk with them. Because if you don't, any of those things that we talked about, you don't use that knowledge aright, all you really have is the mouth of a fool pouring out foolishness. And we don't need any of that. We need to minimize the foolishness that comes out of our mouth. So Proverbs 15, a whopping two verses here tonight. That's pretty good. Did I break Brother Stevens' record? Has he ever only covered one verse? But I spent a lot of time on that. I spent a lot of time on that, brethren, because sometimes we don't realize the power of the things that we say, for good or for bad or for ill. We don't realize the power of the things we say, and unfortunately, sometimes we utter foolishness when we ought to be using knowledge aright. Think about that. Think about that. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Wednesday night service. I know that the Bible is a great book, and Father, there's some things that we run across in it that the truth of the matter is we have failed at so many times, it's really hard to listen to. Lord, it's hard to read those verses and see ourselves in those verses and realize what an utter failure we can be. But Father, I know this. I know that by reading those verses, our eyes can be opened. And Father, if we have the heart of him that hath understanding, seeketh knowledge, Lord, with the right heart, we can change the words that are coming out of our mouths. Father, we can change the way we communicate. We can change the way that we use words, and we can use them to glorify you instead of being a hindrance, instead of being grievousness to the folks that are around us. And I pray that you give us a mind to do that. Help us to remember these two simple verses in Proverbs 15. And Lord, I do pray that they would change our lives for the better and for the glory of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you can be dismissed, and we'll see you on Sunday.